Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. This is a place on the internet where you will find that we talk to men directly and we talk about the real issues that we have to deal with on a daily basis. We are also more than willing to be transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering help and hope for those who are still in challenged times. And I got to tell you, that includes me. So a lot of times I get encouraged just from hearing what is shared on this show. God's word says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what we're here for, to try to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, so to know that you are not alone, and then you can walk down this path, or you can get on the path with the rest of those guys that are heading in a direction that is going to bring joy and peace and love, security, all the things that we so desire. And in the studio today, I have Steve with me. Good to have you this morning, brother.
Good morning, Raul.
It's the week of, it does not matter what week it is. Today is the day the Lord has given us, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it.
That is correct. Today is the only day that we have.
Yep. So we are actually, this show, we actually, later today, in this show, we are going to be talking, get right back into the book of James, which is really, I think it's just a man's book in that one there. But we kind of just scratched the surface on it here earlier in the week, and we're going to kind of move forward into it on a few more things on that. But that's after we get finished up with our email of the day. You guys get the opportunity of sending us an email to help@bandofbrothersradio.com. If you have an issue or a challenge or not sure exactly how to deal with something or just a question about what you hear or what's going on in your head, email that to us. We'll answer it anonymously. No one's going to know who sent that in, but we'll answer it. And I got to tell you, I get a lot of guys who end up coming up to me and say, man, I enjoyed that email that you guys responded to. And so this works. So by you sending something in, believe it or not, you're helping another brother. So he's all of a sudden finding out that he's not alone or, you know, you're not alone. And so anyway, we've got one today, and I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I see big print. So that's kind of nice, I think.
Well, this is actually one we wrestled with doing on Monday. But felt that we had to address another issue, but it was so important that we set it aside, and so we're going to talk about it this morning. This brother writes, I am in a custody fight with my wife for our two children. I don't believe she is a fit parent. She had an affair with her boss and left me and the kids for him. That happened 3 months ago. She has filed for divorce, and now she wants the kids with her. Funny. She didn't seem to want the kids for the last 3 months, but now she thinks I should just hand them over to her. I don't want to make this a big messy fight, but I really don't think the kids should be with her. My question is, should I ask the kids who they want to be with, or is that dragging them into the middle of this? They are 14 and 10. Please advise.
Well, I tell you, all the more reason why when God says he hates divorce, you know, this is part of it. When there are children, I mean, I am not one to be excluded from this because I was in the middle of one of these. It was not a custody battle. It's tough when you have children of the age of 14 and 10. You've got one that's a teenager and already is making decisions on what she wants to do with her life based on the information that she has. And now 3 months ago, mom leaves, and all of a sudden you've got all of these more challenges are taking place. So, you know, God bless you that you actually are willing to sit here and want to make things right for your family overall. I know that there's got to be an awful lot of hurt, resentment, pain, and a lot of just things that are just not even that you're aware of yet that you're going to be moving into. So there's got to be a lot of fear there also. But you know what? This is wow. This is a tough one. But I will tell you this: I'm going to go with what my heart says here. You know, those kids, even though they're 14, 10, that 14-year-old is, I'm going to say, you know, they need to be protected. Their heart needs to be protected. That 10-year-old does not need to make any decision on whether mommy or daddy is the one I want to be with. You know, you're heading down a path that you may not, it may be like a steamroller going downhill. You cannot stop it. It's just going. And it's going in the direction that you can assume here, is that she's going to stay with this other guy. I believe there's probably not any room for reconciliation because she's filed for divorce. I take it you probably have gone through all the processes of trying to find out what's going on, what happened. We don't have any of that understanding. But your main question here is that the kids. And I think you need to protect their hearts. I think you need to try as hard as you can to let them know that, you know, they are still loved by their mother. I don't know if in this 3-month period, did he say anything about her not wanting to see them or anything? Did they? Nothing like that.
We don't have those details.
Okay. So, boy, you know, God, this is just a tough one, man. I'm sitting here. I think I've taken about 3 swings at this thing. I'm almost struck out here, but, you know, I think you need to pray about this totally. Have some brothers come around you, some other people that love you and care about you that aren't going to be biased one way or the other on how to protect your children. I think that is the most important thing here. Brother, you're going to have to deal with some of your stuff through this and walk through this, but you don't have to do it alone. There are there are men probably in your church that have experienced something similar to that. And I would try to reach out to some of those any way that you possibly can. And this isn't anything that you're necessarily proud of. Say, hey, I want to talk to somebody. You wouldn't stand in front of the congregation. But I think if you were to pray and ask the Lord to put a man in front of you that has experienced something like this, that might come up, maybe he already has. But I believe here, I don't think you need to bring your children in the middle of this. So who do you want to be with, mommy or daddy? That's too big a decision for them to make because a lot of things are going to change day to day on this thing. Things are going to change in your mind and in your heart. Can you imagine what it's doing to them? They want mommy and daddy together. And so maybe if anything, continue praying for your wife, brother. You know, battle for it. You know, battle for it. The enemy is doing everything he can to take this thing apart. So I would battle on in prayer and get as many people as you can to pray for God's will here. And I believe God's will is that the two of you be together and that those children have mom and dad. And just short of doing anything stupid, I would just continue to pray and persevere.
Well, this email, Raul, has in it so many of the details that bring us to these kinds of difficult and disappointing scenarios. We could spend the rest of the morning talking about what happens when a wife or a husband, you can make it either gender, leaves home every day and goes off into a work setting where they're exposed. In this case, she's exposed to her boss. Mm-hmm. So how does that work? Well, I have no idea what kind of job it is. I have no idea what kind of roles they play. But obviously, he's a person in authority. She's a subordinate. She sees him for a certain amount of time every day, and she sees him in the work setting, which means she doesn't really see him as he is. He appears to have it together. He appears to be in authority. He appears to be in control. They're not doing any of life's issues together. They're not paying bills together. They're not raising the kids together. And she comes under this strong delusion and gets involved with him. And now she's going to leave her husband and her children in order to have a relationship with him. Well, what we know at this point, it's only been 90 days since this explosion. And so we don't know if she and the boss are going to make it at all. They may discover on the other side when reality sets in that they really don't have anything.
Right.
And we have no idea, we have no notion of his parenting skills or if he has any interest in these children. Mm. Obviously, she's the mother. Her heart is knit to them in a mother kind of love. She's now leaving. She wants them to be with her. The husband, on the other hand, who sent us the email, he's wounded. Mm-hmm. We don't know what he contributed to the scenario. Mm-hmm. We got an email here some time ago about the guy that sat in the chair and ate potato chips and gained weight and wouldn't take a shower. I don't think that's this man, mm-hmm. but you get the picture. You got a guy sitting in his lazy boy chair, eating potato chips, watching TV, not showering, and his wife saying, he won't pay any attention to me, he's not sexually interested in me. Well, if that wife gets dressed up every day and goes into a work environment,
right.
and the boss is, you know, wearing his suit and tie or whatever, I mean, we see how these things mm-hmm. go.
Yep.
I love the fact that this man says that at the heart of his question is the care and concern he has for his children.
Yep.
So, and I think your counsel was right. They're 14 and they're 10. You've got a teenager. You've got a preteen. They're going to be making their own decisions. The 14-year-old's getting to that point where they are growing farther and farther and farther away from their parents as life prepares them to launch out on their own. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be an earthquake.
Yep.
And they're going to be wounded. They're going to be confused. They're not in a position to make any decision. But what I would challenge this husband to do is not turn this into a contest. Mm-hmm. Because if it becomes a contest between he and his wife, it really becomes about them. And the real question is, who's going to win and who's going to lose? Mm. And as they fight that battle, the kids are on the sideline and they're simply pawns in the game. Mm-hmm. So this husband is challenged to prayerfully consider what is the best answer for these kids, mm-hmm. and to rebuild his relationship, mm-hmm. even if they don't reconcile, and rather than being bitter and hostile, which will cripple his spirit, to be forgiving and to rebuild mm-hmm. that relationship communication-wise as far as possible so that they can create the best environment mm-hmm. for these kids. Mm-hmm. But nobody wins in these scenarios. Yeah. But on the other hand, we're serving a redemptive God, a powerful God. He gives us beauty for ashes. He gives us joy for mourning. Things happen to people in life. This brother needs to step beyond the shame of the moment, mm-hmm. realize that there's grace, and walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, mm-hmm. and trust God. As James said, as we studied mm-hmm. last Monday, if any man lacks wisdom, mm-hmm. let him ask of God,
yes.
and God will give that wisdom. So it's a difficult scenario, but 90 days into this, it's far too soon to be able to discern the right pathway.
Yeah. Wow, there you go. And you're right, we could probably talk a whole topic on this one here at any of the shows, but we thank you for sending in that email and giving us an opportunity to affirm you and guide you, and so blessings to you, brother, and one day at a time, take it one day at a time. When we come back, we're going to get back into that book of James and some of the wisdom that will come out, we don't have to squeeze very hard, just a little bit. It's just like a sponge full of water. You just barely touch it, the water starts just dripping right out of it. That's what James is all about. We'll be right back.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it. Because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and my name is Raul, and I have Steve in the studio with me today. And boy, we started off in the book of James, Jesus' brother. This is his older, not his older brother. Jesus was older, but this is the older of the, I think, remaining three brothers, I think, that Jesus had. And he's one that did not believe in Jesus and what he was doing and to start, and then he came on board somewhere along the line. You'll have to read it. It's in a few places in the New Testament there. But he actually wrote this book, this letter, and talking to me. That's what this thing is all about. And we started off, you know, brother, why don't you go ahead? My voice, I don't know why it's kind of like going in and out of here, hopefully.
Well, let me read a few verses that we're going to focus on this morning. We're in chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Now, this is a great passage, and obviously it applies to men, women, teenagers, boys, and girls, but we're talking to men this morning, though I've got a sneaking suspicion that we've got an increasing number of ladies that are listening. But let's take this in a couple of different sections. We're going to get to the sequence of temptation and sin and destruction in a moment. But beginning in verse 12, Raul, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Now, blessed means happy.
Uh-huh.
And when was the last time that you were in a severe trial and you were happy about it? Can you help me with that?
Oh, like I'm supposed to remember when that took place. Let's see. You know, here's what I believe is that the longer I am on this walk and trusting him, okay, before really being tight with Jesus, that's how I'm going to say it, really tight with Jesus, I used to, everything was chaotic, but everything was huge. And I was never happy, especially at the start when I was going through something. It was always like, why now?
Okay, let me freeze that right there. So you had come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You were, we'll say, a new or a newer Christian.
Right.
And that, or let's say an immature Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And things would go wrong,
right?
Because they do in life,
right?
And during that period, even though you were born again,
mm-hmm,
and loved Jesus,
yep,
but your perspective was somewhat negative.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we may have men listening this morning,
mm-hmm,
who seems like their world's falling apart,
right?
And there are probably some out there that feel the same way,
right?
They're probably saying, "Why me? Why is this going on? I thought Christianity would be easy."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were in that chapter.
Yes.
Okay, what happened?
I ended up taking on and trying to deal with things the way I used to. Even though I had Jesus, I had already surrendered to him. I said, "You're my Lord and Savior," but yet he was on the back burner. He was not the forefront, okay? I was still doing things my way, so I reacted to them my way.
Okay. So what I just heard you say, Christ was in your life,
mm-hmm,
you knew you were saved,
yes,
You probably were having some degree of fellowship, maybe going to church someplace, like a lot of men.
Yep.
But what I just heard you say is that your old way of dealing with problems was still the way you were trying to handle them, even though you now were a follower of Christ.
Yes.
Okay? Carry on.
And what would end up taking place is that I mean, because that was automatic. I'd always go to what my default was. This is where I go back to. So even as a new believer, it's like learning the computer. You know, it's kind of like knowing that I've got to do certain things to get used to doing it. I'm going, oh, I'm not used to that, but it goes back to, you know, whatever. It corrects itself.
So you're a new believer,
yeah.
But you're still using the old tools to try to fix today's problems.
Exactly. And that's what ended up taking place is that all of a sudden I find myself over a period of time, and sometimes it would be hours, maybe moments or whatever, but then I catch myself saying, wait a minute here. I remember somebody telling me, now's the time I need to just pause and pray and ask God to be with me, but I don't know what I'm asking for, you know? And so, I mean, I was just, you know, all these things I would start to remember. Now I'm actually on the right track because I'm away from the flesh. I'm trying not to do it the way I used to, remembering that everything that I had done before and how I did those things, not that everything was wrong, but the majority of it were, it was incorrect. It got me in trouble. It just created more problems. Okay. So I had to start to look at things a little bit differently. Okay. And as I did, and I started pointing or looking toward Jesus or toward his commandments or toward his word, then I started to reach to other men who actually had some of those answers.
So you're saying it's possible for a man to be a Christian, to know that his sins are forgiven, to know that he has eternal life, and have in his heart the desire to want to serve God and please God, and yet at the same time still be reaching out backwards for those old ways of solving life's problems and suffering during these periods of trial. Because the scripture says here, blessed is the man who perseveres when he's in trial.
Right.
Now, persevere is you're... And he says, under trial. So, you got something on you. It's heavy, it's weighty, it's burdensome, it's a real-life problem.
Mm-hmm.
And yet James is saying, listen, man, when you're in the midst of this moment, there's two ways to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That either it's destroying you, or somehow God is using this to make you into the man that he wants you to be. You know, it's interesting. Einstein said, we cannot solve today's problems at the same level of thinking with which we created them.
Mm.
Now, I think that's a insightful saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Scripture takes us even farther.
Right.
And the challenge is not to see through natural eyes, but to begin to see through spiritual eyes.
Right.
So James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that with me. In fact, I'm going to say it again. Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view. So this shift in our response to life's trials means we're either going to look at them as a man without God
right.
would look at them, and what we're going through from that perspective looks pretty burdensome.
Right.
Or we can step over on the other side and say, well, what does this look like to God?
Mm-hmm.
What did Job's trials look like to God?
Hmm.
Well, they sure look different from God's point of view than they did from Job's three friends' point of view.
Right.
Job's wife's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Job, why don't you just curse God and die?
Mm-hmm.
She was looking at it from the human perspective.
Right.
God's looking at it from an entirely different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the end of the story before
right.
it even begins. He
right.
knows that the latter end of Job is going to be better than what he's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And Job finally comes to that moment of realization where he sees and understands that God's been at work.
Right.
And on the other side of this testing and trial, in fact, the scripture goes on and says, when he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's exempt. nobody gets to live by a different set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. But James is saying, listen, men, stand back. When you're being tested, count yourself blessed.
Yes.
Look at it from God's point of view. And he can say this because he knows God will give us the power and the desire to do his will, and God will get us through this trial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he says that before he says, verse 13, when tempted. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yep.
So, in other words, God's telling us here at the outset, before he gets into this description of this pathway that leads to destruction, he's telling us here at the outset, when you go through the trial, you got to look, you only got two choices, Raul.
That's right.
You're going to look at it through your own natural eyes, or you're going to look at it through God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And depending which way your perspective is, that's probably going to define not only how you go through it, but it's probably going to define the outcome.
Absolutely.
Because if you get under the burden of it and you get into this, I can't do it, I can't get through, nobody loves me, nobody cares, nobody understands mm-hmm. how I'm suffering, nobody feels my pain, I'm the only one. I mean, you start down that I path, and you are setting yourself up for the enemy. So verse 13, it says, no one, when tempted, should say, God is tempting me. I want to ask you, why would anybody think that God was tempting them?
Well, if they were in that position where I was at one time, all of a sudden I'm walking down a path trying to be a better person, trying to remove things in my life that were creating a lot of chaos and challenges in my life, then all of a sudden it's like something is put in front of me and I'm going, oh, I'm being tempted by God. You know, he's actually want to see how I'm going to react to this. And I think it really is, in my mind, I'm going to think that God is tempting me just like the enemy would tempt me, like the devil would. You know, I've got one on one shoulder, one on the other. But it's not. With God, it's more of, he is testing. He tests our faith. The Bible tells us that. You know, one of the things that makes it very clear to me in hindsight, because hindsight is always 20/20, but if I was more in the Word of God, in reading and trying to understand what he's saying here, it would make it more clear for me as to why I need to do certain things.
So what you're saying to me is we're all going to be tempted,
uh-huh.
and we're going to learn more about this after the break. The temptation doesn't come from God.
Right.
Though many times we are tempted to believe that, which
right.
gives us a wrong perspective from the outset.
Right.
But what I just heard you say is that if you were more familiar with God's word,
uh-huh.
if you'd been drinking in God's truth,
yes.
that you'd have more of God's wisdom.
Yes.
And James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And
yes.
what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to see life from God's point of view. So what I just heard you say, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that one of the reasons we get set up for failure and become so vulnerable
mm-hmm.
is that we're unable to see from God's point of view, and we're unable to see from God's point of view because we haven't been eating the living bread, the Word of God.
Yes, yes. And that is true. I mean, again, this is hindsight. And this is where we relish the opportunities that men who have been down the path before us to share some of their experiences, saying, hey, Raul, you don't have to go down this same path that I went down. This is what I learned, and this is where I found it. And this is what took place. You don't have to go there and touch that flame, knowing that when I tell you it is hot, even though it's blue colored, you're still going to get burned. I can maybe listen, at least have the opportunity, and then make a choice of my own. And I've done that, okay? I've heard the good that has been brought out. I have now the choice. What am I going to choose? I'm going to choose my way because I'm still going to touch that flame. And I get burned, and I go, okay, he was right. Now, everything that guy has said, or the Word of God now, that's got to be truth. That's got to be better for me than the other way. So we are going to take a quick break here. Not quick break, the same normal break, minute and a half. So you guys stay tuned, listen to all those commercials, and we'll be right back.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. My name is Raul, and I've got Steven here. We've been talking a little bit about, a whole lot about what James is showing us here. You know, and Steve kind of ran by a couple of, how I used to, or just, you know, maybe how you still do, but how we dealt with certain beliefs when we have choices. We either are going to go the new way of thinking or what we would like to believe because we now have Jesus in our heart, or do I default back to my old ways of dealing with life the way that I want it? And Steve, you know, an awful lot of it for me was, what was the desire? I mean, what is it that I really want here? Because truly, in a sense, if I choose to want to go online and look at some of those models on there that are talking to me and acting to me, they're going to give me some, as I would look at it, some satisfaction. Then thinking that I'm getting what I really desire and truly need. This is what I need. Or do I turn away from that and get into the Word of God or do something for somebody else? And it sometimes, and that's where the default for me is doing an old way, saying, "Well, this is easier. Because this is what I used to do. That this is going to be more work, and I've got to be really willing to do that, and I'm not sure I'm that willing to do it."
Well, great point, and I think many times men don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's the message here in James, is bringing clarity to our situation. Your story, which is all of our story, it's the story of every man who's listening, some people were raised in a Christian home and lived by a certain family standard, church standard. Many of us were not born again until we became adults, right? And we stepped out of a lifetime of darkness and godlessness. Some of us not even believing there was a God, into this new relationship with Jesus Christ. But irrespective of how we came, I think we can say generally that most of us start off with a great degree as men of spiritual immaturity. Uh-huh. So we get born again, but that doesn't, and our hearts change and our love for God is awakened. We start building new relationships, but that doesn't mean that under pressure, we still don't reach back for those old mechanisms to solve life's problems.
Right.
And so there's a learning, growing, or maturing. So in one place, Paul says, you know, I wanted to give you strong meat, but I had to give you milk because you were like little children. You were like babes. So there is this growing up in Christ. And there is a sense that there's a growing up in our spiritual manhood, that we come to maturity and we begin to not only see life differently, but we begin to approach life and respond to life differently, which means solving our problems differently. Mm-hmm. So you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or getting ready to go into a trial. Mm-hmm. And James says here, blessed is the man who perseveres.
Yes.
So when you're going to go through it.
Right.
If it's not here today, it's coming.
Right.
You're going to go through it. Happy is the man who perseveres under trial.
Yes.
Why? Because we have stood the test, and we're going to be tested. Mm-hmm. We will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Well, we do love Him, and so we're seeing it from God's perspective. That being said, when the temptation comes, it's important to know that God's not tempting us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not in His character. It's not in His nature.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is leading us in paths of personal victory. In fact, when Jesus said, when you pray, "My Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give me today my daily bread, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one."
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit is leading us on a pathway of victory and fellowship with the Lord. But we have an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. Ephesians tells us that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual rulers of this dark world. Mm-hmm. When Jesus was filled with the Spirit, immediately as he went into the wilderness, he was tempted not by God,
yes,
but by the devil. So temptation comes out of the darkness that Satan has created to blind men to the goodness and the grace and the glory of God. So when that temptation comes, we should not say it's coming from God, because that'll give us the wrong perspective.
Right.
Instead, what we should say, my help cometh from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to help me. God's going to guide me through this. God's going to give me the grace. The Holy Spirit's going to help me. So James tells us, well, where does that temptation come from then? Well, in verse 14, he says, each one of us is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. So we've got something in us, a fallen nature, even though we're born again. So, Raul, let me ask you this. If I said, okay, give me your Bible, I'm not going to let you read it for the next 90 days. Give me all of your Christian books here, Raul. I don't want you reading those for the next 90 days. Give me your CDs. I'm not going to let you read those for the next 90 days. Raul, I don't want you to go to Band of Brothers for the next 90 days. You deserve a break. Why don't you just stay home and take it easy? You've been reading these books, listening to these tapes. You've been getting up early every morning and praying. You know what? Let's take a break. I just want you to sleep in. In fact, Raul, why don't you just sit over there in that easy chair? Here's the clicker for the television. We've got all the channels here. Why don't you just give yourself a break? Now, and we're kidding, of course, but what would happen to your spiritual life and your ability to fend off the strong temptations of sin if that were the case?
Oh, I'd be powerless, man. I'd have no way of doing anything except, I mean, it would just be...
How many days do you think it would take? A week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
You know, it's funny. As you were just saying all of that to me, I was saying, hey, get behind me, Satan.
But isn't that what happens?
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that what happens? Yeah. And, you know, somebody comes along, and some other Christian comes along, some other brother, and wounds you and offends you, say, well, I'm just going to drop out for a month.
Yes.
Well, guess what happens? Yeah. Because we're not tempted by God, but we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own evil desire. See, I'm born again, but I got to tell you, Raul, I still have a fallen nature.
Mm-hmm.
Galatians makes it absolutely clear. In fact, I just read it this morning. This struggle that we are in, that Paul said, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, that flesh is still alive. Does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because of what you believe? And then he goes on to say, if you live by the spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
Yes, yes.
For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's writing to you and I. He's writing to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, listen, you got two choices. Either you're going to walk in the spirit or you're going to end up turning to your old nature. The spirit is contrary, for the spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law.
Yes. Yes.
The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Now, the potential for all of those things is right here in my old fallen nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? If I am not filled with the Spirit.
Right.
If I am not, and the Word of God is alive. Hebrews makes it clear it's a living thing. Jesus said, I'm the bread, I'm the living Word. And we've all heard preachers stand up and say, you need to pray more and you need to read the Word of God more. And it just becomes a religious kind of notch in your Bible sort of thing.
Right.
But the reality is we're having a relationship with God, and as we are filled with the Spirit, we are able to stay in step with the Spirit.
Oh.
But if we don't, and James is making it clear, why do we fall into these devastating moments of sinful destruction? It's because we're led away by our own evil desires. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law.
How can you say anything more after that? Except let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
I can't find a way to escape from the depths of where you found me. I cry out for a savior. Take me on to higher ground. Oh, take me on to...
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. We have a few minutes, and we're sitting here. We're going, oh, here's what we're going to do on Monday. So you can listen on Monday's show. We're going to talk about the difference between being tested and being tempted. That's where we're going to go with this. It's going to come all... Remember, we're in a study of the book of James. This is what happens when you get into the Word of God. It leads you to other places saying, hey, this is where we need to go. So on Monday, that's what we're going to be talking about. But in the meantime, we're going to try to see what we can do to kind of bring this one here to a landing, as Steve would say. So, brother, why don't you bring it down?
Well, I think the point of what we're saying this morning is there are two ways to look. When you're going through a trial, there are two ways to look at it. Either from your old human man perspective, or to get wisdom and see it from God's point of view.
Yes.
So I think that's the first question a man can ask himself when he's facing a temptation or a trial, which we're going to talk about on Monday, mm-hmm. is what does this look like from God's perspective? Because I'm looking at it from a point of time. God's looking at it from the point of eternity. Mm-hmm. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is the ability to see my situation the way God sees it. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells us that God will give us that wisdom if we ask. When we're tempted, we are not tempted by God. God is not out to destroy us. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Holy Spirit is here. He's our counselor. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our navigator. So we can find our way through this present struggle and live in victory, not only while we're going through it, but come out on the other side, mm-hmm. so that our lives are a blessing to others and bring glory to God. Mm-hmm. And I can say to every man, this is God's will for your life today. God's will for your life today is that you are a blessing to those around you and that your life brings glory to God. So the temptation comes from the enemy, and we're going to talk more about that on Monday. But you have a spiritual nature, and you have an old fallen nature. Your old fallen nature is the doorway into a pathway that leads to sin and destruction. The devil came to steal, to kill, and destroy. He works on your old nature. Today, you and I, take a moment, open our hearts to the Lord, tell Him we're going to walk in fellowship with Him, put to death, crucify that old nature, nail it to the cross, and allow your spiritual man to rise up in resurrection power, walk in faith, and bring blessing to others, glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother, for sharing with me as we chew up in James, and we're going to continue on Monday. In the meantime, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity of being in your presence, Father. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are listening, Father. Father, may they be just willing to just open their hearts to you, Father. May you just flourish and overabundantly give them what is necessary for them to come closer to you. We thank you for your love and your faithfulness. Brother, there is hope, and you're not alone.